Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael. Yes, as Bethany just explained, and she let you know the number 888-850-1872. I'm not supposed to repeat that because that's just a waste of time, but we're going to press on. I'm going to be talking about factions today. I'm going to go to Federalist Paper number 10. Strange but true, I actually knew where to go, and there was things that popped up in the news today that made me think of it. So I'm going to go there today. I've got some quotes out of the Bible, scary but true, and some other things that are going on, some audio clips from things that are being said in Congress today that I think are profound. You do have some people that are virtuous, that are in Congress, in the legislature, and they're folks of virtue and nobility. I would say that the old school American nobility of paying attention to the Constitution, having a biblical worldview and perspective, and being concerned about right versus wrong rather than details of the administration of something that government may not ought to be doing. Let's hear what James Madison had to say when he was trying to explain to the people of New York why it was imperative for them that they would get on board with approving this federal Republican kind of Democratic Republic thing called the U.S. Constitution. James Madison said, and this is relevant for today, complaints are everywhere heard from our most considerate and virtuous citizens, equally the friends of public and private faith, and of public and personal liberty, that our governments are too unstable, that the public good is disregarded, the public good is disregarded in the conflicts of rival parties, and that measures are too often decided not according to the rules of justice and the rights of the minor party, but by the superior force of an interested and overbearing majority. And he said, however, that they wish that those complaints had no foundation. Looking at the facts, he has to admit that it's true. So the big point, and this is here today, there's nothing new under the sun, in the words of Solomon. He said that this is what people were complaining about back just 200 years ago. The governments are too unstable. The public good is disregarded in the conflicts of rival parties. Rival parties. Let's just call Democrats and Republicans. And that measures, the things they're doing, are too often decided not according to the rules of justice and the rights of the minor party. See, that would be protecting your rights according to the law rather than the whims and passions of somebody in power. Not according to the rules of justice and the rights of the minor party, but by the superior force of an interested and overbearing majority. I would say also that this kind of goes back to it's the interest of not an overbearing majority per se, but it's possible that it's the interest of an overbearing minority that happens to have power. One of the notes I put for myself today when I was contemplating what we're going to talk about. Does political will justify popular government's factious ends? Now, that's kind of a big, heady statement. I was sitting here thinking about this, and I thought, you know, we look at, well, the majority rules, and we think that if the majority come up with it, it's democratically elected, then that's what we have to go with. Or if we're silly enough to elect them and they get into power, is it okay for them to do whatever they want to do, whoever's in power? And I thought, no, popular government, popular election, popular persuasion to get into office, marketing. I mean, hey, you got people that change constitutions in various states in order to have a lottery. It's a dummy tax. It's sick. Okay, it's not the purpose of government, but you've got majority of people, or at least the voters, with their proper marketing, have instituted the lottery. Now, you may be a lottery player. You may think it's okay. It's okay. Okay. It's okay that you think that. Bless your heart. So I learned that bless your heart statement when I met my wife. She's from Gulf Coast, Mississippi. So bless your heart. But the thing is we have, just because somebody's marketed, made, convinced you that it might be a good thing that will gratify you, ultimately, if it violates what the purpose of government, the laws of justice, And if it gets into things that are really not what the government should do, it shouldn't be done. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And the more, and just because I've, you know, made the mistake of reading the things that the founders were reading, and I understood that there is a like judicial restraint. You've heard the term judicial restraint. We need to use a whole lot of restraint. In fact, that's the purpose of government, is to restrain the wrongdoer from doing the evil thing. Now, sometimes we think if the government does it, suddenly it can't be evil. Now, in theory, a state and the government is only supposed to be doing good, not bad. So in theory, they can't do anything wrong. The problem is wrong things keep getting done by state actors, sometimes with the approval and blessing of the Congress or the state legislature or the executive agent, or sometimes with the courts. Sometimes and oftentimes, I would say wrong happens with the power of the state, but that's not what the state's job is. So I will tell you that we have to just figure out that the wrong thing's going to happen. The wrong thing can be done by Congress. And so the thing is, we can't just say, oh, it was right because Congress did it. I was going to have an interview with a gentleman who's investigating a potential massacre, an alleged massacre that may have happened in 2001. And do we ignore it and say, well, let's look the other way because it was a state actor doing it, and we're the good guys, so it must be a good thing, or it can't be an evil thing? No, we as people here, and this is what we're kind of raising the flag here with Liberty Works Radio Network, we're about accountability to our, you know, ourselves, holding ourselves accountable to, first, I say, Almighty God. And the way we do that was in good conscience. I think we need to make sure that we're upholding the constitutional government that really we all admit makes a lot of sense the way it works. But those who are elected and acting according to the Constitution are supposed to doing that which is right, because we do have a Christian foundation that understands that the government is supposed to be a minister of God for our good, not supposed to replace God and be a ultimate benefactor. It's not supposed to be Uncle Sam provider. It's Uncle Sam restrainer of evil. The problem is more that Uncle Sam steps out in doing things other than restraining evil, there's a very, very good chance that those who are acting on behalf of Uncle Sam will error and ultimately damage people with the power of the sword. Now, that's kind of philosophical, but that's the way it is. Let's get back to, oh, by the way, the number here is 888-850-1872. It's 888-850-1872. This is more statements from James Madison and the Federalist Papers, number 10. Now, here's what he says. He says that this is part of the problem here, is he says there's it's chiefly, if not wholly, because of the effects of the unsteadiness and injustice with which a factious spirit has tainted our public administrations. We've got a serious factious spirit that has tainted our public administrations. And sometimes they use good causes to advance something that is ultimately really to gratify those in power, not necessarily take care of the least of these. This is what Mr. Madison says about factions. He said, by a faction, as he refers to it, as a number of citizens, whether it's a majority or minority, who are united and actuated by some common impulse of passion or interest. So a majority or a minority that are actuated by a common impulse of passion. Do you see any of those things happening today? Any things that are common impulses of passion or interest that are basically sweeping everything away, using the energy of government as a mechanism to advance this common impulse or passion or this interest? And he mentions this faction as this, it's a majority or minority of the whole who are united and actuated by some common impulse or passion or an interest that are adverse to the rights of other citizens. They are adverse to the rights of other citizens or to the permanent and aggregate interest of the community. So what I see a lot happening right now, this Federalist Papers number 10, written by James Madison, is like a great big spotlight that I can use, that I can shine. It's like a reality check on what's going on the issues of the today, this global government that's being instituted Al Gore talks about it. The Pope talks about it. Mr. Obama talks about it. People in Congress are talking about it. People around the world are talking about it. Leaders of other countries are talking about it. This thing where they can take down the jurisdictional boundaries of the United States and the laws that protect the rights of the least of these, and tear down the walls of Florida Constitution and Florida sovereignty, so to speak, so that, that those boundaries that protect the rights of you in Florida, there's people that are actuated by a common impulse of passion and an interest in this global greenhouse CO2 worship thing. It's just strange, but it's there, and it's right in your face. It's right in the news. But their interest isn't necessarily concerned about your rights and the protection of your life. In fact, as I was reading an article that was written with quotes from Mrs. Clinton, the Secretary of State, she began to equate your having children as being a part of the problem with this massive CO2 that's growing in the atmosphere. See, you are part of the problem. And this was actually said, this was described kind of candidly. Mrs. Clinton didn't even know, she didn't know enough to catch herself. It just kind of ekes out of her pores because of this viewpoint that that humans are really the problem. Now, if I look at this on a constitutional basis, the Constitution would say the government's there to protect your rights. That governments are instituted, the Declaration of Independence said, the government's instituted to protect your rights. And that if we look at it biblically, there's a mandate to be fruitful and multiply, that there's an adversary who has a desire to steal, kill, and destroy. So there's a spirit, a factious spirit that is in power right now that has a heart toward destruction of life. And it has a passion and an interest for self-gratification and the destruction of life of those who are inconvenient to the faction in power. That's really happening. It's really happening before our eyes. And I appreciate these comments by James Madison that help us realize that there is nothing new under the sun, but we've got to be ever vigilant to stand against this, to speak up. And to when you get in your community meeting, you go to the Rotary Club, you're sitting around, you're playing pinochle, say what is true. Don't get involved with the weeds of how much it's going to affect somebody's welfare, Medicaid payments and things like that. Don't get in the weeds of that. Step back a bit to the foundational principles of government and right versus wrong. Maybe for fun, you could call somebody who represents you in a legislature and tell them, hey, get a little sanity on your behavior and do the following thing. It may be one of those things where you propose to make sure that that's all this whole, you know, there's certain things that are happening right now, the cap and trade thing or whatever. You know, if it's undermining the purpose of government and your rights, those things that protect you, well, you might want to just do something about it. If you're okay, you're 60 and, well, I got enough money here, I think I can get to the end of my time that I'm going to check out, and you're not concerned about your posterity, you are the problem. You are part of the problem. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be held accountable ultimately, all for these minor things that we do. You know, we're going to be held account for every idle word. Okay? And everything that we do with every secret thing, we're going to have to give an account for it. And you're not really allowed to check out till you check out. So we all have work to do. And some of this work that we're needing to do has been brought upon us by our future generations. Some of it has been brought upon us by our generation. But guess what? We can't check out till it's time to check out. So check out our website at faithfreedoms.org and check out the podcast at faithfreedoms.net. Get involved, become a participant in Liberty Works Radio Network. And we come back, we're going to be hearing from somebody with a sound mind in Congress. We shall return.